Good morning. What an incredible thing, the presence of the Lord in Easter Sunday morning. What a special and a precious time. You know, it's been my privilege to minister for many years in Russian-speaking lands. And I've had the privilege of being able to minister in Moscow and St. Petersburg, areas close to the Finnish border to Siberia. And one thing that has always impressed me about the Russian-speaking peoples was the way that they celebrated Easter. And there is a lovely and a beautiful tradition that they do that I thought this morning we could join with them. And they have a greeting for 3 days at Easter where it is announced Christ is risen and everyone stands and says he is risen indeed. I would ask that every Russian speaker please stand. Hallelujah. We would just like to celebrate a Easter morning greeting, Russian style. Brother.
Христос воскрес! Христос воскрес! Христос воскрес! Yes, he is risen indeed.
Thank you. Yes, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved class of 2011, you are graduating under the banner Year of Freedom. And I pray that this message further that goal and further that purpose in your lives. One thing I know, when the Holy Spirit sends a message, he performs it. And I say that even right through to this week, this message, and every day you walk this campus, the Lord is faithful to bring you more and more into that freedom that he has desired the class of 2011 know in a very special way. This morning's message is framed by the word that was brought earlier, and I bore such witness to it, where the Lord said to us, I have bound my glory to your life. And you are made in the image and glory of God. And if your heart is to glorify me, then give me all your life, and then my glory will be seen. And I bear witness to that word very much. Well, I just ask if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 6 this morning. It was so wonderful to hear how the service went this morning at the sunrise service. How precious it was. There's something about a sunrise service, that quiet, that peace, that preciousness is present, and the Lord's presence is still here. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for a living word. I thank you for the end goal, Lord, that we will experience your presence, Lord, in a way that brings freedom and glory to you, that allows us, Lord, to yearn to lay our lives down completely. I thank you that you know, Lord, how to bring us to this end. I pray do a full work in our midst this morning. Lord, do whatever it is that you want to do and you need to do. Lord, if there's something you've been longing to do in this place for a long time, I invite you to have your way. If there's something that has been so precious to your heart that you would so rejoice over us this morning because it's something you've been longing to say and something you've been longing to do, I just thank you, Lord, that you will do it for your glory and because you love us. We love you this morning, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3, it says this. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. And verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I want to speak to you this morning very simply, but something I believe that the Lord knows that before you leave this place, dear graduating class, indeed everybody that is in the sound of my voice, something I think we need to understand, a truth we know, but a truth we can't hear enough because it is the power and the source of our life. I want to speak to you this morning that I believe there is a death that the enemy brings to humanity. And it's versus a death that Jesus Christ brings to believers. There is a death that the enemy brings to humanity, but there is a death that Jesus Christ brings to believers. And we must not confuse them. And the enemy, the death he brings, is very easily recognized, and we know it. It deceives and it kills. And simply, like in Romans 7:11, it says, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." And in a nutshell, that's what the enemy's death brings, is deception, and does kill hope. It brings a hopelessness and a lifelessness. And Paul says, "That which I don't want to do, I do. And that which I want to do, I don't." And that is how sin operates. And sin, of course, the Bible is very clear, tells us that the wages of sin is death. This hopelessness and helplessness and inability to respond and to be dead, to be taken captive at the enemy's will, to be deceived and to seemingly sin without any power over it. And I'm thinking, beloved, of Peter the night before the crucifixion. And I'm thinking how he is an example of a believer who walks with Christ and knows so much. And yet there is a season and a moment in his life before the crucifixion. He so typifies what I want to say about a death that the enemy brings to humanity, and also that it occasionally, as believers, we experience this. And Peter, the night before the crucifixion, you know the story, but Jesus said to his disciples at the Last Supper, he said, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night." He went on to say, "Because if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter." And Peter answered and said, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended." And, you know, here we have this man. He, of course, now he's operating, of course, in the complete enemy of spirituality, which is pride. He has a vision of himself. He feels strong at that moment. He feels like he's in a top tier of Christianity or an understanding. And he's walked with Christ, and Christ loves him, and he knows. But when Jesus says something plainly that he doesn't agree with, or he can't figure it out, or what he wants to do is reinterpret Jesus' words for others in their hearing, he plainly declares, "No, that will never be," though he says that "I should die with you." And though I should die, he said, "I will not deny you." And likewise also said all the disciples. And so it's a moment of false bravado, isn't it? Peter's words are so strong and so clear, and he creates almost like what seems a climate of faith. And everybody says, "That's right, Jesus. We'll follow you right to the death, and we will never deny you." But of course, and it seems like the very next instant, night comes. And when that night comes, in just a few verses, it tells us that Peter can't pray anymore. He can't pray, he can only sleep. Then the next minute we see him cutting off the ear. I think he was aiming for the head and only managed the ear off, and he of what he thinks is an enemy. And he can't be spiritual at this moment, and so he's pushed into doing something. And it's what's happening is beyond his comprehension, and he's starting on this downward path. He's being deceived by sin. He's carrying on in sin. Then, of course, the Bible says he follows Jesus from afar that night. That's such a picture of he is so condemned, isn't he? He has to follow Jesus from afar now. And then, of course, we see him by the fire at the maid denying Christ, not once but twice. He denies him three times, and the last time he curses and with an oath, and he denies that he ever knew him. And the death that the enemy brings is one of deception, where we are operating in sin, and we continue on in sin until we see ourselves in a place perhaps we never thought we could envision ourselves to be. And I believe that even Peter at that moment, he slinks away in the night. A picture for us to remember. But then we have the death that Christ brings. Because the death of Christ brings life, because we read it so clearly in Romans. It's talk about being united with Christ and baptized into his death, and that we will be raised as Christ. And the death that Christ's life brings is a death that he is asking us to embrace, that we may have newness of life. The death that Jesus Christ brings into a life brings us through into newness of life. It's not like the death the enemy brings, deceiving and sin and overcome by our enemies. But there is a death, and there must be a death in the life of every believer. But it is the death that Christ brings, and it's the one that we embrace because his death leads to newness of life. When we are unified with Christ, as surely as he was experienced death and burial and resurrection, united with him, we will experience the same thing. And I want to bring a picture to you of Lazarus. And Lazarus represents also, like Peter did, a believer. But this is now a believer, I believe, who's walking by faith. He has a love relationship with Christ, as Peter did. And he sups with Christ. And he lives within a community of faith, like Peter did. But when he became sick unto death, everybody was truly believing that the Lord would come through for Lazarus because they have that relationship, because they know that Jesus raises from the dead. He heals the sick. He is the miracle worker. They know their only hope is Christ. And I believe that when Lazarus was dying and Jesus was urged to visit him, and Jesus chose in his own timing, in his own way, not to visit him, that Lazarus, of course, expired. But I believe that in that community of faith, that everyone was believing that Jesus could come at the very last second and do what only he could do. Evidence, because when Jesus finally did come on the scene, Mary and Martha both said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died." And I believe, speaking into Lazarus's ears, were the community of faith round saying, "Hold on, Jesus is coming." And I believe that that man most likely died with the name of Jesus on his lips. And after 4 days, the scripture says he is completely dead. He's so dead, he stinks. And he, Jesus, goes to the tomb. And we know the story so well. And he calls his name. And the dead, that dead man Lazarus, hears his name, where the voice of Christ penetrates every death. And up from the grave, he also arises. And beloved, I want to say to you, if we look at these two instances in these two lives, what I want to say to you this morning comes to this. When we as believers walk with Christ, the vast majority of people experience what Peter experiences. They know a failure. They know a sin. They know something that they've set themselves on a path, and now they are overcome by despair, by their own failure, by something they never thought they'd do or say or go or be. And having a full realization who they are, they would go off into the night. And many times then we come back to the forgiveness of the Lord and we start all over again. But sometimes this experience of Peter, of moving out in sin, of it taking us to deception, then it takes us to kills us. Something in us dies, a confidence in God, a confidence in ourselves. It works a death in us. But for us today, if we can hear it, there is another experience, not the death the enemy brings, but the death that comes with being united to Christ. And it is like this. As believers, there are some things when we come to Christ, some things fall away. Then there are some things that we believe and hope for. And as we walk with him, some things fall away. As we walk with Christ, some things change. And our lives begin to show the glory of God. But there is something in the life of every believer that unless it is totally death, There is an area of our life we cannot do it. We cannot perform it. We cannot in our own selves bring it to pass. We can pray for it. We can fast about it. We can believe for it even. But at the end of the day, we know there's still an area of a stronghold and of a death that is working in us. And there is nothing that we can do in spite of our trying, our promising, our crying, our believing, our fasting. Like Lazarus, we are now dead. And we have our Lazarus moment. And beloved, I want to say to you that this is exactly what has to happen for a church to be spiritual, for you and I to have a spiritual life. Jesus said at Lazarus's grave, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Christian church must experience the Lazarus-like death. You and I are going to be brought to a place where we can't do it no matter what we've done. We do everything we know to do, and there seemingly is no results. But may I say, you and I will learn to recognize, oh Lord, I know now what I am facing. I am having my Lazarus moment. I'm having something that no matter how much I want it and how much I try, except you visit me in my grave, it will not happen. And what happens was the church comes to this kind of experience, and there are people who love God and walk with God and have been used by God. But when they come to this dead area, when they come to this place where everything they've known before, where it worked, but it's not happening now, and they are actually brought to this point and face to face with this death in them, the enemy wants to come with his death. He wants to deceive at that moment. He wants to kill any remnant of faith. He wants to do what he has always done. But beloved, may I say to you that what we will do in that moment is we know that, Lord, we will embrace this death where there's nothing we can do. And Lord, we even die, if it even is, to the hope of ever seeing change in certain areas of our life. But united with Christ, we know that his pattern was he died, he was buried, and then resurrection came. And I want to say to you that there comes a point that you and I are not going to be deceived. And because that we haven't known a victory, that we think that something is wrong, that we think that if we haven't had everything we know to do and nothing is happening, we at that point will not be deceived. We will understand there is a death that Christ brings into the life of the believer that we may know resurrection life. And what happens to the church so many times is when Christians come to this point of there is a death in them and they can't do a thing about it. There is something that can't change, it can't be touched, and for a season they are walking with it till it seems like all hope dies, till the point that the last name on their lips was Jesus, but now it's almost like walking through unresponsive. Beloved, remember, this is your moment of the impossible. Jesus must do this in the experience of every spiritual man and every spiritual woman. But Christianity, many places, when they get to this place of seemingly no change, that is where Christians begin to make excuses. This is where theology rises up and tries to explain the experience. We see that with Mary, Martha, where all of a sudden Jesus didn't come and there was no miracle in her timing. And so a theology rises up that when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, that she goes, I know he's going to be resurrected on the last day. The theology of never believing for miracles anymore, of just hanging on and going through this life with a faulty faith, but never being able to say it. Because if you bring your doubt to the light, it's like any little faith you have will be taken from you. The theology of playing it safe faith and trying to preserve the little we have. That's where a lot of times where things don't happen according to our understanding and according to our own timetable, that hypocritical thinking can come, and where we have to hide, and where we become victims of or willful hypocrites and go into hiding, we end up with a condemning finger and a pointing. Beloved, this is not a time to slip into unbelief. When we have a place in our heart and our walk, it is an appointed time. It is a Lazarus time that we united with Christ in his death and burial. That means it's on his timetable so that we may experience resurrection life. And there is a huge difference. And we will follow Jesus' example. When we understand, I've come to a place, Lord, of deadness, and instead of pulling back and going, you must be so mad at me. I must be doing something so wrong. I see people on the left and on the right, and they seem for this season of life, they're prospering. They get it. They're experiencing something that I don't have. And beloved, don't do that. Begin to discern the enemy's death and the death that Christ brings into the life of a believer, because something glorious is going to happen. And say, Lord, you know what? The last name on my lips is going to be your name, Jesus. And I'm going to glorify you when I go through the dead times where you seem you not working, where I can't understand what you are doing, because you are saying that if I am buried with you, if I'm baptized into your death and I'm buried with you, the same spirit that rose him from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be raised in the same way. And where Jesus said, Father, hanging on the cross, into your hands, I commit my spirit. You know, when Jesus said that, beloved, what was happening at that very moment? We know that he was in the last moments in agony on that cross. We know that when he closed his eyes, he was going to a grave. He said, I commit myself into your hands. And how did he die, beloved? He died with the iniquity of us all laid on him at that moment. He died with the iniquity of all mankind upon him at that moment. He died with the sin of every human being, of every nation, of every race, for all time laid upon him. He died with all the vileness of a Hitler, and he died with all the vileness of a Hefner upon him. He died for every sin committed by every mass murderer, every child abuser, every fornicator, every murderer, every liar, every hypocrite. He died with every sin ever committed on humanity upon him. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I know there's going to a grave, and unless you visit me, Lord, I am saying that this death has been ordained by you. This is the agreement of you and I. And I go closing my eyes with all of the sin of humanity upon me, laid upon me. And I close my eyes in death because I believe death is how to get to resurrection. Because this death, Lord, breaks the power of the enemy's death. Because this death is your plan. Because this death is how something amazing is going to happen that couldn't happen any other way. As a sinless God dying as a curse to break our curse. With the sin of humanity upon him, Jesus was believing for resurrection life. He knew it was his promise. And in his death, he destroyed the power of the enemy's death. And the Bible says that if the princes of this world knew what was happening at this crucifixion, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because when Jesus died bearing the sin of the world, he went into that unseen realm where the enemy felt he was supreme. And he took captivity captive. The glory of God came into that place, even to the gates of hell. His holiness was completely undiminished, even though the sin of every human being, every man, woman, and child ever born was laid upon him. He remained utterly uncorrupted. The vileness of the world was laid upon him, and he died uncorrupted. His holiness was not touched. Everything in his nature when he went to the gates of hell was still pure. He was still all exceedingly lovely. He was glorious. He had conquered sin. He had conquered death. He went to the gates of hell and he set at liberty all the captives of everyone who would put their trust in him. His holiness was not corrupted by bearing the sin of the world. And he destroyed forever the death of the enemy. He destroyed forever that kind of death that says every believer doesn't have to live like that, deceived and condemned any longer. He says, if you'll follow me into this death where you can't understand what I'm doing, let me know if you're united to me. I am holy. I will always be holy. I will be uncorrupted. You trust me, united to me, you are uncorrupted too. You are uncorrupted too. For the same death I experienced, you are united with me. Hang on. Beloved, when you don't feel a thing, when you're feeling like it, I can't live except you touch me, that's enough. Because he who is holy is making us holy. And he's bringing us through to that burial. And on the third day, he rises triumphant. And so do we. And so do we. There are things in your life, there are things in believers' life that are completely dead. And except the Lord of glory touch it, it shall not live. But his promise to us is the same one that the Father made to him. You go my way. You die the death appointed to you. You be buried, but you will rise again. Beloved, there is a death that we must go through where the Lord knows how that we will die to sin. He knows how to make us a partaker of his holiness. He knows he's teaching us how to live in the power of his resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so, beloved, his holiness came in contact with the vilest of man's sin nature, and man changed, not God. Sin was swallowed up by his holiness, death swallowed up by his life. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Like Lazarus, we can do nothing to save ourselves. There are certain areas of our life. They will be, in spite of every best effort that we know it to do, we'll remain dead, begging resurrection life. And when Christians come to the place in this place in their walk, where it seems like a death is working in you. It is the Lord's death working in you. Helpless and hopeless to change, but believe it by saying, Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit. And we all know something of that resurrection life. We will know something at that moment. Do not lose your faith, beloved. Do not be, when you go through a hard time, a dead time, a time that doesn't seemingly make sense, do not succumb to the death the enemy brings. But say, Lord Jesus, I'm keeping your name on my lips. And I believe that you are going to bring me through to something. And I thank you that if you touch it, it shall live. And I thank you. I've worn myself out trying to change. I've worn myself out doing everything I know to do to bring this change. But no longer will I be condemned. You're going to teach me to wait and hope. He who has promised is faithful. And Lord, I thank you that you say I must have this death, that I may know this resurrection life. And so, Lord, I'm not going to let the enemy condemn me out of my position in you. I'm not going to let me condemn me out of my hope. If things need to change, my arms are wide open and do what you have to do for the glory of God. But I'm not going to let fear of failure rule my life anymore. I'm not going to let myself be condemned into a place where the enemy can point me in another direction, deceive me, and kill any faith that is there. No, I'm going to identify with what you say happens to a believer in Romans 6? That so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And then we are buried with him. And then like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so will we into a newness of life. And you know that scripture, and very familiar, that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So, beloved, what is resurrection from the dead? Why is it worth the waiting? You know, the enemy wants to shortcut this work. He wants to, when we come to that moment where we have done all and there's nothing left for us to do and there's nothing we can do. Beloved, we are going to say, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to wait. And this death in me is working something in me. This death in me, this lack of feeling, what feels like I can't change, although desperately I want it to change. I'm going to wait and hope, and I'm not going to be deceived to say that I'm a backslider and that the Lord is displeased with me, that the plan for my life is cut off, that something has changed and I can't go forward. No, beloved, we leave this place knowing there is a death that only Christ works into us for his glory, for you. Who is dead is freed from sin. He's doing something supernatural. He's doing something the enemy has to lie constantly about and tell you it's over, it's finished, you're not good enough, you haven't fasted enough, you haven't done this enough. You know it. We speak of it over and over, don't we? But the Lord wants to embed it in us so deeply. Because what is the fruit of a resurrection life? If I can read it to you, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that we have a life and it is sown in incorruption, but it is raised in incorruption. We have a life that is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in honor. We are sown in weakness, but we are raised in power. We are sown as a natural body, but we are raised as a spiritual body. Resurrection life means you will be raised as a spiritual body. Resurrection life means you will be raised, but as a spiritual body. This is what the world is waiting for, is some people that are going to wait for the resurrection life to come. Wait for the resurrection life to come. Not try to figure it out like Peter, not defend, not go in a position that was triggered by pride in the first place. If you and I can stay off the path of pride, much good can be done. But Peter, ensnared by pride, ended in a way, made declarations, made a fool of himself. Lazarus, I believe, surrounded by a community of faith that were believing Jesus would come at the last minute. And when he didn't come on their time, nothing changed. He just got a greater and a better life. The scripture says that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that people came as much to see Lazarus as they did Jesus. People were so astounded by a man raised from the dead. It's worth it because that's how our testimony endures. If we allow resurrection life to touch us, if we wait on God for that, if we are buried with him in our death and refuse to give in to the condemnation of the enemy and say, Lord, you are working and it's going to be far more glorious than anything you've done thus far. They came far and wide to see a man raised from the dead, and it's still true today. They will come far and wide to see a man and a woman of God raised from the dead, because the gospel always, and I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, the gospel is about dead men living. The gospel is about dead men living. That's what it is. And you're going to go out there, and how will you get resurrection life? You are going to know that the Lord himself works his own death in us. Burial and resurrection, wait for it. You will be raised a spiritual body. Don't be condemned out of the greatest moment of your life. Don't be deceived by the lie that says you're cut off from God. No, beloved, if there's an area of your life, and surely there will be, that you can't change. No matter how much you want it, you've done everything you know. Now you're just waiting. Oh God, little by little, I'm dying in this. No, the reward is resurrection life. You'll be raised a spiritual body. Hear what I'm saying, and the Lord give you understanding what I'm saying. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. And beloved, you know, when we experience and we are believing, you know, it's on the Lord's time, isn't it? When the Lord chose to raise Lazarus, it was on his time. God, give us grace to wait in hope. God, give us grace to understand it doesn't matter what our feelings are or that we can't seemingly change in this area. We say, Lord, you are the Lord of glory. You're the Lord of life. You will visit me like you visited Lazarus. And I will be raised a spiritual body. And that is, beloved, where the fear is taken away. Because we heard today the Lord is saying, my glory, the glory of resurrection in your life, the glory is that you will give your all to me. And so many people are afraid to give their all because they're afraid of failure. So many are afraid to give all because they don't know what it means. But when we've been touched by resurrection life, the fear absolutely leaves. The fear leaves. And we all of a sudden want to give our all for the glory of God. We've been touched by resurrection life. The enemy has no part in that death. He has no part in that life. We are higher and we're outside of what the enemy can do in those moments. And it increases our faith and it gives us the ability to believe better and to be able to speak words of faith and deliverance to people around us because we have experienced resurrection. It's worth the wait. And the Lord who promised will do it. The enemy, I think he really misjudged the cross because I don't think he ever thought the most holy God would come in contact with the vileness of humanity. I don't think he understood what was really happening. He had seen uncorrupted glory and he knew where he lived, overcome. But Jesus came, and at the end of the day, it was this incredible love that he is making this offer to us. When I was a young woman, we had foster children. And the foster child we had, he wasn't a child. He was 6'2". He was 17 years old. His name was Todd. He was from North American Indian descent. When I was a little girl, I was raised a Catholic. And where I went to church in the summer was a big basilica. And on the walls of that huge dome church, they showed pictures of the Canadian martyrs. The Canadian martyrs were priests who were tortured to death for their faith as they brought the Catholic faith into the province of Quebec. And the Indians captured these priests and they tortured them for days before taking their life. And on the scenes in this basilica were pictures of, they are called the Canadian martyrs, of them being, their flesh ripped off them and being burned and tortured. And the faces on these martyrs was, of course, absolute anguish. And the faces on their torturers was absolutely demonic. And I remember as a little girl sitting in church Sunday after Sunday and looking up on these walls and being so aware that there were things called demons. And I was convinced of their presence. I got saved. And shortly after being saved is when we brought this young man of North American Indian descent into our home to live with us, Todd. Unbeknownst to me, he had started practicing ancestor worship and he was giving himself over to demonic influences. Pastor Carter was working night shift and I was home alone with him and our two small boys. I had two children at that point. It was late. It was about 10:30 at night and he was at the kitchen table and he was doing his homework. When all of a sudden I felt a cold blast of air from behind me. I turned around to see that this young man was now manifesting and he was totally taken over by demonic spirits. At that moment, the greatest fear of my life was now in front of me. The greatest fear of my life. I needed no convincing that demons were real. And here he was in my kitchen. The amazing thing was that when I saw him and as he began to manifest, something absolutely supernatural took over my being. And there came a great desire in me to lay my hand upon him, for I felt that if I could lay my hand upon him and pray for him in the name of Jesus, he would be delivered. And so instead of me running out of the kitchen, I ran towards him. He went like a basketball under the table, and he was bouncing up and down, and I couldn't get at him because of the chairs. And then when I would put my hand out to try to get him, for I was convinced I had to lay my hand on him, because his overpowering desire that he be delivered came upon me, and I knew God was able. And as I shot my hand out, it was like he made a movement like a snake, went out under the table and went around the corner up the stairs to where my two small sleeping boys were. But I still don't know. I think I was translated from the kitchen to about the fourth stair, that I was eye level with him and was able to block him from going up the stairs, because I can't describe it. Not just this love for him to see him delivered and see, knowing God was greater than any torment he had and I had of demons, but also a love that would include protecting my two boys. It was like a fearlessness came upon me, for I knew God was with me and he was delivering me in my greatest fear. And I put my hand on him and I said, in the name of Jesus. The next thing I know, he ran screaming out of that house. He ran for 5 miles down a black country road till he came to himself. The Lord delivered him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit and he saved today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what it is to be touched by resurrection life. I know how, well, you know what it is. It's all consuming love. It is. It makes you fearless. It makes you fearless. You become like the spirit of a lion comes on you, not for yourself, but for the glory of God, because you know God is able to break up the demonic to the depth. You know he's the Lord of it, and you know, but just the touch of his hand and the name, his name being named, it breaks up the depth. It's worth it. You know, I lived for many years afraid of demons, but I'm not afraid anymore. I know what it is to be touched by resurrection life. Beloved, God's no respecter of persons. We will know it. Wait for it. There was a season I was tormented in my mind, but Jesus, you understand, and you don't condemn me because I'm going through these fears. You don't condemn me. You are with me and you are for me and you are working out resurrection life in your time. I will not let the enemy convince me that I live a substandard Christian life because I'm experiencing death. You refuse the death of the enemy. That's deception in life, but you receive the death that comes with Christ, where it says, Lord, you're working something out. I'm united to you, so I will know a death, I will know a burial, and I will know a resurrection. It's worth waiting for. So don't, if you are in the middle of your death, if you're in the middle of waiting on Jesus and nothing's happening, that's all right. He comes his way, he comes his time, and he makes it all worth it. And he will raise us a supernatural body. He will. He will. The fears you face today, You will see them no more. There will come a time you will see them no more. You wait on him. He's doing something resurrection life. He's worth the wait. Will you stand with me? The bottom line that we're saying here, isn't it, that keep waiting in your death. Keep waiting when you've done everything you know to do and you still haven't had that resolve. Keep waiting. The Lord knows what he's doing. It's worth it. Keep waiting. Glorify God. Say, Lord, I thank you. You know what you're doing. Your name. And when I get to the point that I don't even know if I can believe for this or that I'll ever see change, we can wait in hope. Even when you don't feel it, beloved, you just remember, this is my Lazarus moment. This is my impossible moment. Lord, you don't play with my life. You know what you're doing. You're promising me resurrection life. So don't be condemned. Don't slink back like Peter into the night. You don't have to wait on him for the impossible. Wait. Just because you're experiencing nothing does not mean Jesus is doing nothing. And if we won't be condemned in those times, I'll tell you something. You're going to experience resurrection life. This is our last service together. Beloved class of 2011. God has promised you freedom. Don't be lied out of it. Don't be lied out of it. I don't care if you feel nothing today. This word is for you. Lazarus didn't feel a thing, but resurrection came to him. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the Lord's promise to you today. As the musicians are playing, and there are just some of you that are saying, Lord, I'm hearing you today. I'm going to honor you today. I believe the end result is that I love you so much and I love those around me. There's a call for me to make a difference in my generation. But this is the way. It's the way of death, beloved. It's the way of death. It's the way of death. The Lord has shown us his death that he brings into the life. How to free us from sin and bring us into resurrection. Wait for him. He's faithful. If you want to make a declaration today and say, Lord, I'm hearing you. I'm not being lied out of my freedom or the call of my life or anything I'm going through. I thank you. There is a death that Jesus brings to the life of a believer that results in resurrection life. Whatever it takes, that's what I want. I go with you, Jesus. You just come forward now. If that's the Lord speaking to you. There's some of you today, this is the greatest act of courage you've done is to step forward because you don't feel a thing. And you've seen no movement. You've seen no change. You've seen nothing. But the Lord has come to you today. And he says, because I'm going to bring you the grace to completely give yourself to me. Even when you don't feel a thing. And that's a wonderful thing. And some of you, it's the most bravest thing you've ever done. Is to step forward feeling nothing in the middle of your death. Knowing that Christ is going to be faithful to you. You are looking hell in the face and saying, you know something, devil? Your freedom is for me. It doesn't matter how I feel, it's for me. You're going to break through with resurrection life. It's worth the wait. Hallelujah. And it's the bravest thing you've ever done. He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to you, though he were dead. Yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today. You love us so much. And Lord, you know what you're doing. So we give you our death and our inability to change in certain areas. Lord, we thank you for every place we've known victory. We thank you for every place you've changed us. We thank you for every place you've done something for your glory in us and through us. But today, on Resurrection Sunday, we're giving you glory for where we feel nothing. We give you glory for where we feel dead. We give you glory for where we feel helpless and hopeless, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are our resurrection and you are our life. We look at hell and we say, my God is faithful. I can be dead and still the hope of life. I can be dead and yet the plan of my life moves forward. I can feel nothing. But Lord, your promise to me is everything. And I'm going to live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord in my generation. For I'm having an impossible Lazarus moment and I'm hanging on. Because if I will be identified with you in your death, Lord Jesus, there'll come a day I will have my resurrection. And the enemy is not lying me out of another kind of death. This is not the death of the enemy that deceives and entices to sin, that lives in condemnation, where fear is and pride is never challenged. This is another death. It is the death that Christ brings. It is the death you experience. It is where your holiness touches me and I am changed. You're not changed, Lord Jesus. I am changed. You're so holy. I will never change you into corruption, but you will always change me into something of holiness in life. Oh, hallelujah. We give you the death. We give you the place where it seems dead, Lord Jesus. We give you our Lazarus, and we thank you, Lord, you will be faithful on resurrection morning. Your time, your way. So, Lord, we praise and thank you for this moment. And I thank you, Lord, that you are raising a truly spiritual body. You, they're being sown in corruption. We're raised in incorruption. I thank you. A truly spiritual body that knows resurrection life. I thank you, Lord. You freed me forever from that fear. And you've given me a love, Lord, for those that are bound by fear. And Lord, this continues after generation. You break fear off people. And they will give themselves fully to you and be filled with the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. It's worth it, oh God. We wait on you today. We give you everything that's death, Lord, and we know you will be faithful. I thank you, Lord, that even at this moment now, Lord, you are doing something only you can do. I thank you, Lord, we leave this place, especially the class of 2011. Lord, may you embed this truth into their heart. May it quicken them. May it come to remembrance when needed. May it give them understanding. May they defeat the enemy when days they feel nothing, when they feel defeated, when they feel dead. It's a lie. It's another kind of death that brings life, a newness of life. And I thank you for it. So, beloved, all over this place, just praise him. He's the author of your life. He's the finisher of your faith. He's your resurrection and he's your life. And though you were dead, yet shall you live. And I thank you. That's our hope today. And all our life, no matter the deadness that we face, that's not the last word. The deadness in us is not the last word. Where we feel nothing, that's not the last word. You are Jesus. You're our last word and you're our living word. Hallelujah. So let's praise him now, beloved. Let's take a few moments right now and let's just praise him. Let's just praise him for what he's doing. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus, we praise you. You've plundered death. Even that death we feel inside when we feel nothing, you're still the Lord of it and you have a purpose for it. United to you, we are never defeated, oh God. United with you. And Lord, when we feel nothing, when we know it's hopeless and beyond our prayer, our fasting, our believing and our trying, you're still there, the Lord of it. And I thank you, Lord. You understand. And you're going to raise this life up from the dead. It will be a resurrection touch and it will destroy the fear and fill us with love. It's worth it. We declare your touch is worth it. We declare it swallows up death. It swallows up sin. It swallows everything that hinders us from giving us ourselves fully to you. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, death, oh, grave, you've been plundered because my Jesus, having taken the sin of all humanity, has been uncorrupted and untouched, has smashed the gates of hell and promised his resurrection life to those who will unite with him. And Lord, we thank you today. We may not know much, but we know we're yours. And Lord, I thank you that this life you've given us, you're going to give us the power to live it fully for you. And your glory is going to be seen. Thank you. You're going to push back the gates of fear, unbelief, and deadness within us. We wait on you, for you are the Lord of it all. And I thank you, Lord, our impossible Lazarus moments will be repeated again and again. I thank you for setting me free from a besetting fear since childhood. In this place, I pray you sweep over those now that are battling besetting fears from childhood. And by your Spirit, would you come? And where they've been deadened into unbelief and where they've been deadened by pain and betrayal and abandonment, the Holy Spirit visit and witness you are our Father and you are the Christ. And as you've risen from the dead, you're taking us to that place. Thank you, Lord. You're doing so much, oh God. Even in our deadness, you are still working. Even when we feel nothing, you are still working. Thank you, Lord. There is a death that comes by walking with you, and we don't fear it anymore. We don't fear it anymore, for you are the Lord of it, and you are working your good and wonderful and awesome purpose in it. Now, bless, Lord, the students of class 2011. I pray you bless their coming in and their going out. I pray they leave this sanctuary, oh God. And as they return to churches, Lord, the promise of resurrection life, partly they know already and partly you will bring in the fullness, Lord. They need not be afraid, oh God, for you will never fail us. Even death has been triumphed over. Nothingness has been triumphed over. You'll take our fear and you will replace it with your overwhelming love. We believe you for this, Lord. Oh, thank you. The last enemy has been conquered because you went to the cross. You've plundered death and hell, and sin is broken. And Lord, I thank you. Resurrection life comes to those who are united with you. We thank you for this. and we give you the life you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for this life. And we thank you for the hope and the future and the promise. Resurrection life is for every believer united with you. And I do thank you for this. Bless this class. Bless this school. Bless this teachers, this staff, and this body of believers on this resurrection morning. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.